Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, we are just upon the WNBA All-Star Game, so we have all the rosters for both teams, so I'll break that down. And then also some other tidbits happening around the league, and then, oh boy, I got some choice words for some choice people, so just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, like I said, I took a little hiatus, had to get a little R&R in there, but I am back off vacation and all is good. So without any further delay, we're going to get right into it. And guys, as I said in the intro, the WNBA All-Star Game, that'll be coming on July 19th. Looking forward to that. And you know all the festivities that takes place with it, the three-point contest. They're still trying to sort things out as far as that goes. I know Sonia Cintron, she accepted and she'll be in the three-point contest. Not sure about the skills contest as of yet, but I didn't want to wait. I didn't want to delay because there's a lot of news I wanted to get to. So without any further delay, let's do it. So when all was said and done, guys, all the voting came out, and then your starters consisted of the two leading vote getters were Caitlin Clark for the Indiana Fever and followed by Nafisha Collier of the Minnesota Lynx. So those are your two leading vote getters, which means it will be Team Caitlin versus Team Fee. So that's how that will go, guys. So with that said, oh, by the way, this is Caitlin's second go-around in the All-Star Game. And Nafisha Collier, this is her fifth. So your fellow starters ended up being, to my list here, it was Paige Beckers. She's making her first appearance in the All-Star Game. Aaliyah Boston for the Indiana Fever. Paige Beckers for the Dallas Wings. Aaliyah Boston for the Indiana Fever, her third trip to the All-Star Game. Alicia Gray for the Atlanta Dream, making her third appearance in the All-Star Game. That followed by Sabrina Ionescu for the New York Liberty, her fourth go-around. Nneka Nwumike, this is her 10th appearance in the All-Star Game, so seasoned vet there for the Seattle Storm. Satu Sabali, making her third appearance for the Phoenix Mercury. Breonna Stewart of the New York Liberty, making her seventh appearance, and rounding out the starting five is Aja Wilson of the Las Vegas Aces, making her seventh appearance, guys. So there you go. So that was your starters, guys. Now, in terms of your reserves, I'll go in alphabetical order like I just did with the starters. And this was a surprise, guys. Sonia Cintron for the Washington Mystics, playing well as a rookie, guys. Her first appearance, obviously, for the Washington Mystics. Skylar Diggins, who has been playing great for the Seattle Storm. This is her seventh appearance, guys. And she's one of four players to appear in an All-Star game with three different teams. So you talk about making some history there. Skylar Diggins does just that. Of course, she did it when she was with the Tulsa Shock. Then she did it as a Phoenix Mercury, and now with the Seattle Storm. So there you go. Ryan Howard of the Atlanta Dream, her third appearance in the All-Star game. And Sonja Sintrom's fellow rookie and teammate, Kiki Arefin, for the Mystics, making her first appearance. So you got a pair of rookies in the All-Star game. Kind of similar to last year when you had a pair of rookies and Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. So you got another pair this go-around. And this time they're actual teammates. Kelsey Mitchell making her third appearance in the All-Star game for the Indiana Fever. Kelsey Plum, who now with the Los Angeles Sparks, she makes her fourth appearance in the All-Star game. Angel Reese making her second appearance. So her and Caitlin, 2 years back-to-back, they're making it to the All-Star team. And, oh, by the way, Angel Reese once again leading the league in rebounding. And then Alyssa Thomas for the Phoenix Mercury making her sixth appearance in the All-Star game. Her first time with the Phoenix Mercury, along with Satu Sabally, of course. Now, this one really brought a smile to my face, guys. Kayla Thornton for the Golden State Valkyrie, guys. She's making her first appearance in the All-Star game, and I couldn't be more thrilled for her. She's been in the league for 10 years, guys. 10 years. And she's making her first appearance in the All-Star game, guys. I tell you what she did for the New York Liberty, whatever you asked of her, she did that. Whether it be coming off the bench, whether it be spot starting, she did that without a complaint in the world and was the ultimate pro. And now she finally makes an All-Star appearance in her 10th year in the league. Oh, by the way, she's the 7th ever undrafted All-Star player. So basically, only 6 other players who went undrafted made an All-Star team. Kayla Thornton will be the 7th. So kudos to her. Courtney Williams of the Minnesota Lynx makes her second appearance in the All-Star game. First time with the Lynx. Here's another first-timer, Gabby Williams. She's played 7 years in the league, guys, and this is her first appearance for the Seattle Storm. She's had an absolute incredible season, guys. Well-deserved. And then rounding out the reserves is Jackie Young, her 4th appearance for the Las Vegas Aces. And then, of course, you know, with that comes the snubs. I have a few here. The biggest one in my eyes, Brittany Sykes of the Washington Mystics. What she did, averaging nearly 18 points per game, over 4.5 assists, nearly 4 rebounds. I was just stunned. I was surprised she didn't make it. And I think, as I said before, I think the confidence that those two rookies exude is based off the strength of Brittany Sykes being right there on the floor with them and coaching them up on the floor. So, but the thing with that is, if Brittany makes it, one of the rookies don't make it. So, I guess in the coaches' minds, they said, you know what? It's better we go with the two rookies than the seasoned vet. Go make that make sense. But I thought Brittany Sykes belonged in the All-Star game. That's how well she was playing, guys. So there's that. Breonna Jones for the Atlanta Dream, having a solid season for her. You know, she's very efficient, guys. 14 points along with over eight rebounds, actually. Did they deem it not enough? I guess so. The fact that she didn't make it, but Breonna Jones, you can make a case for her. De'Erica Hamby, in fact, you can make a case for two other Los Angeles Sparks. De'Erica Hamby and Azaree Stevens. Both have been playing well, guys. Appeared in all of the games. De'Erica Hamby, 17 points, over 7.5 rebounds, nearly 4 assists, nearly 2 steals per game. Azaree Stevens, nearly 15 points per game, 8.5 rebounds, guys. Over a steal and a half per game, nearly a block and a half per game. That's how well both ladies are playing. Very efficient from the field for both of them as well. Natasha Cloud for the New York Liberty. You can make a case for her. Averaging 10 points, over 6 assists, nearly 4 rebounds, nearly a steal and a half. You could have made a case for her. Chelsea Gray, to my surprise, did not make it. Nearly 13 points per game for her. Nearly 4.5 assists, which is kind of down for her in terms of numbers. Nearly 4 rebounds and just a shade under a steal and a half for her. So Chelsea Gray, I'm surprised she didn't make it. And then Arike Ogunbowale. You could make a case for her, guys. Nearly 17 points per game. Nearly 4 assists. A steal and a half for her. But, you know, she's wildly erratic from the field. But this is last year's MVP in the All-Star game. You know, with her, it only takes her a couple minutes to heat up. And she can carry your ball club. That's how good she is. So those, to me, were the major snubs in my eyes as far as that goes. But nonetheless, the teams are chosen, and this is what we have, guys. So with that said, let's talk about the draft that took place. It was Caitlin Clark and Nafisha Collier drafting. Caitlin Clark, she had first crack at drafting the starters, and then Nafisha Collier, she gets first crack at the bench players. So let's start with the starters. Caitlin goes pretty much chalk, guys. She picks her teammate, Aaliyah Boston, and rightfully so. They have such an amazing connection between them. So she picks her first. Nafisha Collier, to no one's surprise, she picked her partner, her business partner, Breonna Stewart, first among the starters. So, of course, you knew that was going to happen. You know, they have such a close bond, those two, especially when it comes to business. So she takes her first. Then Caitlin swings around and takes one of her favorite players next, Sabrina Ionescu. So you'll have a backcourt of Caitlin Clark and Sabrina Ionescu lighting up from deep, guys. So there's that. So Nafisha Collier, she swings around and drafts her unrivaled teammate, Alyssa Gray, for the Atlanta Dream. So Nafisha's making sure her team is quite familiar, whether it be UConn alums or her teammates in Unrivaled with the Lunar Owls. So far she's sticking to the script. And then coming back around, Caitlin Clark drafts Asia Wilson. Wisely so, taking the two-time league MVP, two-time champion, and all the things that Asia brings to the table. Which brings Nafisha Kaya to swing around and pick Nneka Onwuemeke, the 10-time All-Star, to solidify her front court there. And it's funny because she took her with the mind of taking Paige Becker's last. So she kind of gave a little innuendo to Caitlin Clark for her not to take Paige Becker's, which Caitlin Clark, she let her have that pick. And she took instead Satu Sabali, which, hey, you can't go wrong taking Satu. Especially the way she's played this year. So Caitlin rounds out her team with Satu Sabali, and then Paige Beckers gets picked by Nafisha Kaya. Once again, having the UConn connection. So there you go. Three UConn ladies on the same team. And there you go with that. Which brings around to the reserves. The reserves, of course, like I said, Nafisha Kaya gets first crack, and then sticking to the script, going chalk, Nafisha Kaya takes her point guard, and it's funny, it's her point guard in the W and in an unrivaled Courtney Williams. So she takes the one who she knows very well in both leagues, so there you go. So Courtney Williams playing with Team Fee. Which leads Caitlin to swing around, and she goes chalk, guys, taking Kelsey Mitchell, her teammate with the Indiana Fever. So there you go there. So Nafisha Kaya comes around, and she picks her Lunar Isles teammate, Skylar Diggins. So she's still keeping it familiar, guys. So now you have two caliber point guards there in Courtney Williams and Skylar Diggins. So Nafisha ain't playing with her roster. And then Caitlin comes around, and I was surprised when she made this pick. She picks Gabby Williams, the first-time All-Star. I was stunned when she picked her. But, she said she's having a great season, which she is. Make no mistake about it. So that leads Nafisha to come around and say, you know what? She needs rebounding. Why not get the league-leading rebounder in Angel Reese? So she picks Angel Reese. I thought that was a spot where Caitlin could have picked Angel. And it's funny because somebody wrote an article for USA Today. I forget the author. The columnist, rather. That Caitlin should pick Angel to quiet the people who saying that they hate each other. And I was in that camp, too. I thought it made all the sense in the world for her to do it. And that would have been a golden opportunity to do it. But she decides to go another route. So, Nafisha Kaya takes Angel Reese. And then, Caitlin Clark, in another surprising move, she takes the rookie, Sonia Cintron, for the Washington Mystics. Another first-time All-Star. So, again, I was kind of stunned with that move. And then the Nafisha Kaya said, I'm not playing around, man. I want all the rebounds. Let me get Alyssa Thomas in here. So she picks Alyssa Thomas. So you talk about Angel Reese and Alyssa Thomas being on the same team. Christ. Yeah, that's going to be something. So there you go with that. So Caitlin swings around, and she not only takes Cintron, she takes her teammate, Kiki Arefin, another first-time All-Star. So she comes back and take Kiki Arafin. I was stunned that she left Kelsey Plum still on the table. I'm surprised by that. And then Nafisa said, you know what? Give me Kelsey Plum. So she scoops up Kelsey Plum with her next pick. I was stunned. But Caitlin comes around and she takes Jackie Young with her next pick. So I guess that kind of quells, her missing out on Kelsey Plum. And then with the final pick, LaFisha takes Ryan Howard. I was kind of surprised by that, but for the Atlanta Dream, which Lee left Caitlin to take Kayla Thornton, another first-time All-Star. So, to break it down, Caitlin's team, she has three teammates on there, so that's good. She has two rookies on there. She has four first-timers on there. So, you talk about an uphill climb with that. LaFisha, on the other hand, mind you, LaFisha thought maybe Gabby she could get later in the draft, but Caitlin took her so early, I guess even LaFisha was surprised by that. So it wasn't an all-UConn lineup because Gabby goes to Team Caitlin. But she has three UConn alums. She has a couple of, well, actually, she has three Lunar Isle teammates. She has two of the most tenacious rebounders in the game, and well, you can say four if you add in the starters, Brianna Necker, along with Angel Reese and Alyssa Thomas. You're not getting much boards with all those ladies. And she's straight with her backcourt. So, should be an interesting game, guys. Now, a trade was offered up, guys. And believe it or not, it wasn't players. So, they are trading coaches. Coach Sandy Brondello will now coach Team Caitlin, while Cheryl Reed will coach Team Fee. It was the other way around, actually, but Caitlin suggested that they trade coaches. And, of course, you know, the conspiracy theorists, you know what they're saying. Oh, Caitlin didn't want to be coached by Cheryl Reed because Cheryl Reed doesn't like her. I'm like, come on, guys. Y'all are so childish. Cheryl Reed never said she didn't like Caitlin Clark. Her beef, and this was, and the whole thing, this is over a year ago during preseason. All she said is that far as highlighting preseason, you know, it was all about Caitlin and all those things. And she basically said, you know, let us not shine a total spotlight on one player. You had another game where it was pretty competitive. So let's get some shine on that. So that's what she said. Not to throw shade on Caitlin, just telling the league as a whole, showcase everyone. That was it. But you know, people are going to run with it. Then they're going to say about the Olympics, she didn't want Caitlin on the Olympic team. And I'm like, come on. Which I'm going to address. Give me 1 second. I'm going to talk about that. But yeah, so they swapped coaches. That was the extent of it. So I thought they would swap a player or two, but no. Everybody's happy with their roster, and that's what it is. So there you go. All right, so that is your All-Star talk for the most part. I do want to get to all the unruffled feathers, all the people all up in their feelings because of the voting. Now, here's how the voting broke down. 50% went towards the fan vote, 25% towards the media vote, and then you had 25% towards the player vote. So Caitlin, she's a team captain, so she has no worries. She's a team captain. But here's where everybody gets their panties in a bunch. She finished first in the fan voting, third in the media voting, only ninth in the player voting. And you want to know why that is? Because the players looked at the totality of the season and said, hey, she's only played half the games. So there's other guards that are more deserving. And also, it's kind of strategic, too, because they know she's going to get a lot of fan votes. So let us vote some other players who's not getting the recognition, who are playing well this season, and give them some shine. So, of course, this leads a bevy of people to start talking out of their neck and talking nonsense. Let's start with someone I respect for many years, Dick Vitale. So Dick Vitale goes on to the Twitter, and this is his tweet, guys. Absolutely pure jealousy. Pure jealousy is in caps. That WNBA players voted Caitlin Clark the ninth best guard. Someday they will realize what she has done for all is in caps, of the players in the WNBA. So that's his tweet. But he doesn't stop there, guys. He also says this. He says this to Front Office Sports. I guess they interviewed him. I feel strongly that various players don't give Caitlin Clark the respect she deserves. What she has done to help the NBA has been unbelievable. Think about it. PR excitement, ticket sales, TV ratings and interest, salary increases. Oh, by the way, the salary, they're negotiating those salaries as we speak with the CBA, so that hasn't happened as of yet. So not quite, possibly on the way, yes, but hasn't happened yet. More charter flights than in the past. Also, Dickie B, not true. They had negotiated this in 2023. So they've been talking about these charter flights for a while now. And it actually was going to happen the season before Caitlin came. It was going to happen for Brittany Griner because of all that she was dealing with. So they were going to have her on a charter flight and not the team, which didn't make sense to me. And she said, no, I want to be with my teammates. So they have that. But they were already negotiating the charter flight. Some teams were actually using charter flights. So that's not true, Dickie B. Sorry. Plus, she is so exciting to watch. Lots of jealousy is what he ends it with. So, you know, Dick Vitale, you know, he's been around the college game for a long time. He'll talk about the NBA as well. But, I think you need to pay more attention to what's happening in the league, Dickie B. Again, not jealousy here. Again, I point to the fact that Caitlin Clark only played in half of the games, guys. In fact, let me pull it up now so we are clear. Give me one second, guys. So she played in 10 games, guys. 10 games. Actually, 9, because she just played recently. So 9 games. So that was half of the games, guys. So there you have that. And then, of course, you have other people talking about it. You have Gilbert Arenas. He does Gil's Arena. He does it with all those guys. Josiah Johnson, he's like the host there. Also, you got Nick Young, a.k.a. Swaggy P there. Rashad McCants, Kenyon Martin. And this is what Gilbert has to say. Just enjoy and go with it. If you're making 40K and now you're making 80K, be happy. Yeah, I don't understand what he's talking about there. Again, the contracts have not been negotiated. They're in negotiations now. So there you have that. She eats, then y'all eat. It comes a point when reality kicks in. So here you have these guys talking their stuff as far as keeping that whole jealousy thing going. So you have him saying that. But he's not the only one, guys. Colin Cowherd of The Herd, he's been on the Caitlyn bandwagon for quite a long time. Here's what he says, guys. For years, the WNBA were pointing fingers. They were saying people are sexist. The media is sexist. We're not being promoted. We're underappreciated. Then you get the Golden Goose, and they don't like what it looks like. Iowa girl, Indiana girl. I said this for years. When the wave hits, ride it. You don't know what it looks like. You don't know what it looks like. Don't fight it. So you have these are not honest brokers, guys. These are not honest people who wants to cover a league fairly. They want to pick at and create this narrative, the jealous girl narrative, which is I thought we were beyond this after her rookie season. I thought we were beyond this, but of course it rears its ugly head. So that wasn't the only people chatting about it. Road Tripping, a show I watch, they talked about it. Here's Richard Jefferson talking about it. If NBA's players can rank Tyrese Haliburton the most overrated player, which they did, this should not be surprising. So I don't know if I use that parallel and say that NBA players are jealous of Tyrese Haliburton, but I did. And then this is why I didn't even talk about this stupid ranking. Of all the 4,450 players in the league, only 90 of them voted on it. So you had this small percentage of people who voted that Tyrese Haliburton is overrated, which, again, I threw out the whole poll because it's not like he had a majority of the league voting on it. It was just a select few people saying this. So I discredited it immediately, but, you know, people want to take it and run with it, so fine. And then Channing Frye said, until she changes the way she carries herself or win a chip, this will continue to happen. In other words, and this is how you can tell people don't watch. Caitlin brings smoke to her opponents, you know. She talks, she chats it up and all those things. The game where everything got out of hand between the Connecticut Sun and the Indiana Fever, she told J.C. Sheldon to her face, I can do whatever I want. She told her that. And I was like, whoa. All right, Caitlin. All right. Okay. So it is funny, too, because I think I brought up this example a time or two. Larry Bird, one of the biggest trash talkers in the game. When it comes to trash talk, he's got to be in the starting five. He talked a lot of mess, guys, and a lot of brothers didn't like that. Did not like it at all. Julius Erving, the elder statesman, I continue to say, Larry Bird was cooking him. And this was when Julius Erving was on the latter side of 30. So Bird was cooking him and just talking. Julius couldn't take it. He put hands on Larry Bird right around his neck. I'm like, wow. So, you know, I'm not saying for WNBA players to put hands around Caitlin's neck, but they're not going to be happy with being trash talked like that. They just aren't. So I just bring it back to what Channing Frye is saying here. You know, with the way she carries herself on the court or winning a chip, which, you know, that'll give her instant credibility there, this stuff will continue to happen. And then Kendrick Perkins, he comes with his nonsense. You know, I'm usually with you, Perk, but not here. He says they need to stop beating her up. I'm like, come on, really, is that what we're doing? Like, Kendrick, are you sitting down watching these games? Nobody's getting beat up. Sure, she's getting picked up full court. Sure, you know, people are, you know, not let her have her way, but they're not beating her up. Stop it. And I want to play this sound. This is from a good friend of the show, at least in my mind, at least. This is from Jemele Hill. I'm going to play what she said. And I thought it was on the money, what she had to say in terms of her critique of what's going on. Okay. All right. So here's Jemele Hill talking about the brouhaha over the player vote.
Media platform.
Hang on one second.
Spray is such a terrible narrative. I'm just... The spin. The headline. WNBA players vote Caitlin Clark ninth among guards in All-Star voting. The spin. WNBA players are jealous of Caitlin Clark. The truth. I hated that Dick Vitale, who I have a lot of respect for, used his social media platform to spread such a terrible narrative. I respect you, Nikki B, but you are missing some key context. Let me learn. WNBA All-Stars are determined based on three components. The fan vote, the media vote, and a player vote. The fan vote accounts for 50%. The media vote and the player vote account for the other 50%, 25% each. Caitlin Clark finished first in the fan voting by a significant margin because she got the most fan votes. She finished third in the media vote and ninth in the players. But here's the thing. The players didn't actually vote her ninth. They couldn't. The players can vote on four guards and six front court players. Caitlin Clark did not make it in the top four of enough player ballots. Therefore, it dropped her cumulative score to ninth best among guards. So again, the players did not vote her ninth, but it's really not that controversial that a lot of players didn't have her in their top four. Here's why. Caitlin Clark has missed half of the Indiana Fever's game this season due to injury. As of the recording of this podcast, she is averaging 6 turnovers a game, which is highest in the league. She is also shooting 29% from three and 39% overall. And while she is averaging 18.5 points per game, by any objective measure, she has not had a great season. And those are not All-Star numbers. So based on that, is it really that controversial that the players didn't break her in the top four. Also, my suspicion is that the players knew she was a lock for the All-Star game anyway, and they may have purposely used their ballots to get other players who probably weren't going to get strong fan support or maybe even media support some recognition. Caitlin is the most popular player in the WNBA, and the All-Star game is in Indianapolis. The odds of her not making the All-Star team were less than zero. Caitlin was named the captain for the All-Star game, so all this whining about the player vote is truly inconsequential. I'm just tired of this narrative that the players are all jealous of her, and I am convinced this narrative wouldn't be nearly as persistent if the WNBA wasn't 70% Black. The racial pornography of positioning Black women as villains of the darling white girl is just too irresistible for some people. Even though Sabrina Ionescu and Paige Beckers, both of whom are white, finished second and fourth among the players, respectively. Hell, if anyone should have been pissed, it should be Kelsey Plum, who is averaging more points, shooting better from the field and from three-point range than Caitlin Clark. And the composite voting dropped her to 16th among the players. There are not 15 better point guards than Kelsey Plum, nor are there 8 point guards better than Caitlin Clark. But don't blame the players, blame the composite numbers. My husband is 50.
So that's what Jemele Hill had to say in terms of that. Now, so it dropped her 9th among players, right? I'm going to give you, because they were basically saying 9th among players. Let's say it was just guards, right? So you asked me to name 8 guards playing better than Caitlin at this point, given the amount of games she missed, given her stats, which she is leading the league in assists, although by statistical, her missing the games, she's not actually leading per se until she has the certain amount of games. But nonetheless, I'll give you 8 guards that's right now playing better than Caitlin Clark. No shade on her, because again, you know the fans are gonna vote her in, and you know, again, as she said, it being in Indiana, it was a fait accompli that she would be a captain of the All-Star team, which is fine. I have no issue with it. But here are 8 guards playing better than her. Sabrina Ionescu, Alyssa Gray, Kelsey Plum, who was just mentioned, Skylar Diggins. So that's 4. Paige Beckers, who missed some time, but she's back. That's 5. Brittany Sykes, who didn't even make the All-Star game. So that's 6. Jackie Young, that's 7. Her own teammate, Kelsey Mitchell, that's 8. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So that's 8 players right there who has played better than her. You can make a case for Sonya Citron. You can make a case. It may not be a strong case, but you can make one. Hell, she made the All-Star team, so there you go. So all I'm saying with this is, can we not have to go here? Caitlin Clark is the captain of one of the All-Star teams. We should have left it at that, but no. Everybody has to go with this jealous girl nonsense. And then, of course, the capper of it all is Christine Brennan, who, of course, her book comes out around this time, right around the All-Star game. Christine Brennan, I talked about her last season and the damage she has caused in the WNBA. And I say it respectfully because she's a pioneer, she's a trailblazer as far as women journalists goes. She's one of the pioneers. She's been out there, you know, when it wasn't popular, you know, her and the Jackie McClellans, you know, they've been out there for the longest time. But Christy Brennan has really pushed this narrative. And so much so, she's written a whole book about it. She has a chapter in there. I'm not going to tell you what the book name is. You can go and find out for yourself. I'm not giving her free publicity. But I will say there's a portion in that book, because I heard the Odd Couple talk about it last night, where she talks about the Olympics and the snub that Caitlin received, supposedly the snub, and said she was not on the team for two reasons. One, a spot was reserved especially for Diana Taurasi, win, lose, or draw. So I don't know why that's brought up, but of course she knew Diana Taurasi was going to make it. So I don't even know why that was brought to the forefront. And then secondly, they said she didn't make it because of her fan base. That the way the Olympics work, and we've seen it with the men, when guys aren't playing all that much, you get this chatter about it on social media now and all these podcasts and all these things, people talking about it, especially how Jason Tatum, he didn't play in certain games, and then also to Tyrese Haliburton, in fact, he missed some games as well. So, you know, first of all, and Caitlin said it herself, she wasn't able to practice with the Olympic team. When they had the tryouts, she wasn't able to get there because she was playing in the NCAA tournament. And then when April came around and it was more tryouts, she was simulating with her professional team, the Indiana Fever. So it was either Olympics or the Fever. She chose to be with the Fever. So she didn't really get a lot of time. So if she was to make the squad, if she was, it wouldn't have been earned, number one. Number two, she wouldn't know the plays. So she wasn't going to get a lot of playing time. So you think that would have sat well with the rabid portion of her fan base? No, they would have been crying bloody murder. They would have continued the narrative. Oh, Coach Cheryl Reed, she really doesn't like her because she's keeping her on the bench. This and that. Jewel White wasn't playing major minutes on that Olympic team. Did you hear any of her fans beefing about it? No. And, oh, by the way, let me tell you this. The team won the gold. So why are we even going here? Come on. The goal is to bring home the gold. The gold medal in the Olympics. It's not like the team didn't win silver or bronze. They won the gold. So what are we even talking about here? Why are we still talking about this stuff? It boggles the mind. But, you know, Christine Brenner, she got to keep stuff going. And then, also in her book, again, I'm not plugging a book, but I'm just talking about the absurd stuff that's in it. I'm sure it's filled with absurd crap in it. But here's the other. The whole thing with in the playoffs where DeShanae Carrington accidentally pokes her in the eye. Both players said it was a basketball play, but Christine Brennan, she says, oh, so why you and Marina Marbury were snickering about it? And to which DeShanae said, what are you even talking about? So here you are drumming up some nonsense, so much so that you tried to talk to Dawana Bonner about it, and Dawana Bonner wasn't having it. She said, no, that's my teammate. And she was very upset with Christine Brennan because she had this nonsense going on. So, again, Christine Brennan, shame on you. Shame on you because you was once a respected journalist. Now you are just a tabloid reporter trying to sell books. Shame on you. Shame on you. So I'm going to just leave it alone at that, guys. But that's my take on the whole Caitlin finishing ninth among the players. So, again, she's the captain of the team, so we welcome it. So that's the way that goes. And then let me just close out with a couple of things before I go. Shout out to Allie Quigley, who had her jersey retired. She's the first Chicago Sky player to have her jersey retired. They just had the ceremony just a night ago. I actually missed the ceremony. I'll catch it on a YouTube clip. But well-deserved, one of the greatest shooters in the WNBA. She was a crucial part in bringing a championship to the city of Chicago, along with Candace Parker, who, oh, by the way, next month, her jersey will be retired. So there you go there. And shout out to Candace Parker. She had her jersey retired a few weeks ago in L.A. with the Sparks. So her jersey's hanging there, and then it'll be hanging in Chicago next month. It'll be going to the Raptors. So shout outs to Allie Quigley for having hers retired, and then Candace Parker, who have it done twice for her, already with the LA Sparks and then again with the Chicago Sky. So big ups to both of those ladies there. And then Dawana Bonner, speaking of her, as we know, guys, she left the Indiana Fever. A lot of people say, oh, she's upset because she lost her starting spot. They gave it to Lexi Hall, this and that. So I do want to play some sound from Dawana Bonner. So give me 1 second. And then, yes. One second. Oh, there it is. There it is. All right. Here's the sound I want to play, guys. This is her talking about her now being in Phoenix. So here you go.
I mean, it's home. I know I'm going to get the love, the support. The team, obviously, I know a lot of girls on the team, but not girls, a lot of ladies on the team, but just excited to be back home, super familiarly around the city and the town. So, yeah, I don't even know. I just got here, like, yesterday, so everything's kind of, like, sinking in, but I just want to be back home. Yeah.
So, that's the sound you heard from Dawana Bonner. Dawana Bonner, been in the league for a long time, guys. She's a pro's pro, guys. She is now third on the all-time scoring list. She just went into third. Actually, this season, she moved it to third. Mind you, guys, she has spent 10 seasons with the Phoenix Suns, not the Phoenix Suns, the Phoenix Mercury. So she returns back after spending time in Connecticut. In fact, she was there for 5 years. And then now she is back with Phoenix, where it all started, where she was a number one pick back in 2009, guys. So she's back to where it all began for her, where she was a two-time champion, where she was a sixth player of the year three times. And also a defensive stalwart as well. So Dawana Bonner going back where it started there with her romantic partner, if you will, Alyssa Thomas, both those ladies will be in Phoenix now together. And the first game together, they only get the win over the top team in the WNBA, the Minnesota Lynx, a game that I watched. And you had the great analyst Ann Myers Drysdale on the call for the game as well. Very good game, by the way. And Dewana Bonner, 7 points coming off the bench, 6 rebounds, two steals, I believe. And a very good game. Very good game. No, it was 2 assists, 1 steal. She played some great defense, especially in that second half, to kind of seal that win for the Mercury. And, oh, by the way, Alyssa Thomas only had a career high, 29 points in that game. So, needless to say, she's happy to have her partner back, Dewana Bonner. So, and the thing is, guys, and here's why I say the nonsense about her coming off the bench was total nonsense as far as the narrative goes. She's going to be coming off the bench with this team. Because you're going to have Alyssa Thomas there. You're going to have Satu Sabali. And Kalia Copper when she gets healthy. So she's not starting above any of those ladies there. She's coming off the bench. And she's going to be good with it. So how are y'all coming up with this narrative? Oh, she wasn't happy coming off the bench. Mind you, she followed her coach over there. So, what? I don't even get the nonsense that's going on, but it is what it is. So, but she's back. She's playing over there. She's happy. Team's happy. So, we'll see what happens as far as that goes. So, anything else? We'll leave it at that. Thank you for listening, guys. As always, all things basketball with GD.com is the website. There you'll find the videos, the clips, all the things. Also, guys, I'm on all podcast platforms. Apple, I'm there as well. Leave reviews wherever you see them. Like them. 5 stars. Guys, 5 stars. YouTube, I'm there. Like the videos there as well. Haven't been doing the clips as of late. Like I said, I went on vacation, guys. I'm back now, so all is good, so you'll see a little bit more of me. I know some happenings in the NBA that I want to get around to. I'll get to that eventually. But also, guys, socials. I'm on the good Instagram, TikTok, some Blue Sky, some Facebook, and that's about it. LinkedIn, I put the clips up there. Well, I put the links to the episodes there as well. So, and contribute, donate to the show, guys. In my scroll, I have all the things there. Cash App, $GD, that sports dude. Again, $GD, that sports dude. Awesome. On the website, on my donate page, right there on my homepage. Buy me a coffee, PayPal, Spotify. Donate. All that on the website. Thank you guys for listening as always, and we will talk soon. I'll be next time you hear from me, I'll probably be wrapping up the All-Star game. Also, guys, NBA happenings. Summer League is about to take place, so I'll be watching my Knicks tomorrow to see what they have in store, and we'll see what's what. Thank you for listening. As always, we'll talk soon. Take care.